Hello and welcome to Women in the Coaching Arena podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Jo Lott, a business mentor and ICF accredited coach, and I help coaches to build brilliant businesses. I know that when you prepare to enter the arena, there is fear, self-doubt, comparison, anxiety, uncertainty. You can tend to armor up and protect yourself from vulnerability. In this podcast, I'll be sharing honest, not hype, practical and emotional tools to support you to make the difference that you're here for. Dare greatly, you belong in this arena. Hello, welcome to episode 112 of Women in the Coaching Arena. I am so glad you are here. I was looking at my top episodes recently, and the most downloaded was on how to structure your coaching sessions. So it was number 85, how to structure your coaching sessions. I created that episode because I know when I help people to come up with a signature coaching package, that then there is this huge confusion as to whether it's still coaching, because you are essentially leading by suggesting a pathway to your client. So today I wanted to cover all of these things. So coaching, mentoring, consulting, to really help you figure out what exactly you are selling and ask yourself the question, does that really matter? So especially if you are an accredited coach, I am sure you will be wanting to stick to the ethics of coaching. So therefore, you are probably asking yourself, what am I selling? Am I coaching? Am I mentoring? Am I consulting? And most importantly, is it okay to blend them? You've done the coach training. You know what pure coaching looks like. You're careful not to lead the client, not to give advice. But then you start working with real people outside of your coach training and realize they're asking you for your thoughts, your expertise, your experience, and suddenly you're trying to say, oh, no, that's not what coaching is. This is how it works with coaching. And this is often where we can get stuck because we want to help our clients move forward, but we also don't want to be unethical or go against what we have been taught. Okay, let's start with coaching. So coaching is about asking powerful questions. It's about holding space for the client to come to their own conclusions. You are helping them find those answers already within themselves. In this space, you are not the expert. They are the expert on themselves and their own life. It's non-directive. You don't tell them what to do. You support them to figure out their own way forward. And this is really, really powerful, especially when someone feels stuck, unsure, maybe they've lost their confidence, because it's really empowering to help put them back in the driving seat. But coaching alone can sometimes leave your clients feeling unsure, frustrated about what the next steps are. And that is where a blend can be really valuable. I remember when I had a client who was struggling with exactly this, and her clients were feeling quite frustrated in those sessions, saying, I came to work with you because you used to do the role that I currently do, and therefore I want your guidance and partnership on this journey. I don't only want questions. And I remember when she came to me saying, like, I just don't know what to do. I want to provide coaching, and this is what my client is requesting. And I really do think that that is often the case, because you will attract clients where they see that you have already solved the sort of problem that they are perhaps working on. So therefore, it is frustrating for them to be told this. I remember when I got my first coach, who was an ICF MCC coach, and I was so fortunate to find him because he was a more experienced coach than me and I wanted to be a much better coach. And therefore, I would have felt so frustrated if every time I asked him for his learnings and his views, if he'd have said, sorry, I'm coaching, I cannot share that with you. Fortunately, even though he is an ICF MCC coach, He said, life is messy. Coaching is messy. You cannot live life with this rule book in hand. The real world is very, very different than the rule book. And that was such a freeing moment for me that has helped me to be way more confident in myself and my skills as a coach and mentor. And talking of mentorship, let's talk about this now. So mentoring means you've usually been there before. You've maybe walked the path that they are trying to walk on. Usually you're saying, I've done this. Here's what worked for me. Take what resonates for you. I have a phrase in my program, which is eat the chicken and throw away the bones. In other words, take the bits that are useful for you and leave the bits that aren't. I will never say you must do it this way, but I will share what has been useful on my journey, my experience of working with people, and you can take from that whatever is useful for you and leave whatever isn't. With mentorship, there is still lots of space for exploration. It's still a really supportive relationship. I remember being really excited when we were coming to the mentorship part of my coach training. And I was so surprised that the only difference in the ILM level 7 that I did was essentially coach as usual. And then at the end, if it's called mentorship, you can say, I've done something similar. Would you like to hear how it worked out for me or something along those lines? And I expected it to be much more blended than the rulebook version of mentoring that I got taught. But that was quite nice, especially if you really do like coaching and therefore you can coach first and then offer something at the end if you feel like that is helpful and serves the client. I find that paying clients are usually really grateful for this blend of coaching and mentorship because we market our business, usually showcasing our own expertise, our own journey, and therefore they will see us as that guide. So like I mentioned earlier, it can be frustrating if we won't share anything at all that might be useful for that client. For example, if you are a career coach, you will know a lot better than an average client what sort of things will be useful for them to look at. Because certainly when I came out of my job, I had no idea what strengths I had. I didn't even know what values were. So if I hadn't have had a coach to really help me along this journey to suggest, let's figure out your strengths, what's really important to you, let's work on your values, then I would have probably just applied for the same job that I'd always done because I just didn't know that there was this exploration we could do together. So again, why it's so, so powerful for you to be able to take that person on a journey because you've had time to think about what would be really useful for that person to explore. So it can still be coaching, but often if you've identified the things that would be useful for them, you may save them a lot of time in investigating, not really knowing what order to do things in. So often this blend is actually what your client wants when they buy from you. Okay, let's move on to consulting. So this is the expert insights. It's more directive. You are the expert in a particular subject area. You might come in, maybe you assess the situation, provide an exact strategy, recommendation, templates. You're thinking about, here is a step-by-step framework. Let me show you how I would do this thing. Here's the exact pitch deck to use. Consulting is really powerful. It saves people a lot of time. And here's the difference. In consulting, you are usually doing much more telling than listening. They are mostly hiring you to be told exactly what to do from your expert perspective. So what are you actually doing? Most of us are doing a blend, and I genuinely believe that is okay. I think it becomes an issue when we're not clear on what we're offering or we're afraid of what people might think. You can contract very clearly up front when you know what that client wants. Maybe you will want to ask them, do they want pure coaching? Do they want a blend of coaching, mentorship, strategic partnership? You can ask them each time what would be most useful for them in the moment. Even if you are giving a signature coaching offer where maybe you have some sort of framework that you want to take your clients through, it can still be pure coaching. So for example, when I did career coaching, I would often say, okay, so today we are due to be working on your strengths and identifying them, but what would be most useful for you? And then people may say, well, actually, I'm quite clear on my strengths. What I really need is this. And then we would work on that in the session. So it doesn't need to be rigorous. You will still always want to serve that client exactly where they are at. Sometimes, just to kind of tick off my own obsession about helping my clients get through the program, I maybe would pull out their strengths, for example, in that session, even if we were discussing something completely different. So that would help me and the client feel like we were still on track in that program. So let's talk about now why blending can help your clients and your business. Because let's be honest here, people don't always know or value what coaching is other than us coaches. Most people don't wake up thinking, I need a coach to help me explore my values, my strengths through a non-directive questioning. They think, I need to get out of this job. I absolutely hate it. They want results. And if you can help them get results using your skills as a coach, plus your experience, maybe helping other people through that career journey before, and helpful tools from your consulting background, why wouldn't you be able to blend all of the things? I often use the example of someone who is a receptionist. They wouldn't say, hold on a minute, I only answer the phone. I will never turn my laptop on and reply to emails. We all have so many skills. We learn the skill called coaching, and we feel like we need to erase every other skill and experience that we ever had in our lives because now we know coaching. And in order to provide the best service to our clients, we need to be constantly tuned in with exactly what they want. And if we can provide that, why wouldn't we provide it? So this doesn't mean abandoning your coaching roots. It means being client-centered and outcome-focused and really figuring out in the moment as you continue the journey with them what best serves that person. If you are wondering how to talk about this blend on your website or on sales or discovery calls, something like, I use a blend of coaching and mentoring, so I'll never give you cookie cutter advice. If you would like, I can share insights and frameworks when it feels helpful. I am here to guide you, not to dictate, but you will never be left staring at a blank page, and I will be your thinking partner throughout this journey. Something like that, for me, feels reassuring. It sets expectations. It shows that you are both professional and human. The key thing is you are being honest about the full value that you offer. So my final thought on this is to trust your own approach. You are allowed to start to feel your way, just like my wonderful coach said to me at the start of this journey. Life is messy. Coaching is messy. The rule book doesn't always allow for the messiness that is a human being's experience. So bring your experience, your tools, templates, your voice, your coaching, your mentorship, your experience. Bring the entire amazing picture of who you are in service of that individual client in front of you. It's also worth saying that most people just don't care if it's called coaching, mentoring, consulting. The average person just wants to get results, and that's what your clients will care about. So yes, we may want to know the definitions, but most people genuinely don't. Like, for example, I should definitely call myself a business mentor because I guide people along the journey. But no one has ever said, are you a mentor or are you a coach or are you a consultant? No one cares. If you were to buy from me, would you even be going, is she going to coach me or is she going to mentor me or is it this? You are like, just tell me how to get clients. And on that way, I will use coaching questions, I will use frameworks, I will blend every single thing that I know that will help you find your perfect combination to build your own unique business. So I hope today's episode was helpful. If you are still wrestling with describing what you do, then chat to me on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as Joanna Lott and Instagram as at Joanna Lott Coaching. Please do share this episode with a fellow coach or rate and leave me a review. It will really, really help more people to find this podcast. And I will personally thank you for that if you let me know you have done it. So as I say at the end of every episode, trust yourself, believe in yourself, and be the wise gardener who keeps on watering the seeds. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Women in the Coaching Arena. I have a mass of free resources on my website, joannalottcoaching.com. That's Joanna with an A and Lott with two T's, joannalottcoaching.com. And I'll also put links in the show notes below. Let me know if you found this episode useful, share it with a friend and leave me a review, and I will personally thank you for that. Remember to trust yourself, believe in yourself, and be the wise gardener who keeps on watering the seed. Get into the arena, dare greatly, and try.